to be as smooth as soap, and her large dark eyes, which reflected the sparkling sea, seemed as deep as galaxies. In sneakers, gray khaki pants, and a baggy sweater, she was so petite that she might have been a child dressed in her father's clothes. Not sure why she had mentioned daylight savings time, I said, "I won't be long. I'll be back hours before sunset."
"Darkness doesn't fall to a predictable schedule. Darkness can overwhelm you any time of the day, as you know too well."
She once told me that there are people who want to kill her. Although she had said no more and had not identified her would-be murderers, I believe that she was as truthful about this as about all other things. "I'll stay here if you're in danger."
"You're the one in danger, young man. Here or there, anywhere, you're the one perpetually on the cliff's edge."
She was 18, and I was nearly 22, but when she called me young man, it always felt right. She possessed an air of timelessness, as if she might have lived in any century of recorded history, or in all of them.
"Do what you must," she said, "but come back to us."
"Do what you must" sounded ominously significant, not the language one might use to send a friend off to buy socks. From behind Anna Maria and beyond a window, Tim watched solemnly. Crowding close to him on the left and right, paws on the windowsill, gazing out at me, were our two dogs, a golden retriever named Raphael and a white German shepherd named Boo. Only 9 years old, Tim had been with us for over 1 month after we rescued him from an estate called Roseland in the sleepy town of Montecito. I've written about that ordeal in a previous volume of these memoirs. We were his only family now. Because of his unique history, we would soon need to fabricate an identity into which he could grow in the years to come. My life is as odd as my name. Tim waved at me. I waved at Tim. Just before stepping out of the house, I asked the boy if he wanted to accompany me. But with a benign smile, Anna Maria had said that neither Xerxes nor Leonidas had invited small children to accompany them to Thermopylae. In 480 BC, 300 Spartans under the command of Leonidas had for a while held at bay 200,000 Persians under Xerxes in the Battle of Thermopylae, before being slaughtered. I failed to see the similarity between my modest shopping expedition and one of the fiercest military engagements in history. Even though it's always fruitless to seek an explanation from Anna Maria when she makes such baffling statements, I considered asking for amplification. But she'd opened the door for me, had waved me out of the kitchen, followed me onto the porch, and stood smiling at me as I looked back at her from the bottom of the steps. The moment to press her for elucidation seemed to have passed. Anna Maria's smile is so comforting that, in its radiance, you can almost believe that this world offers nothing more threatening than what you'd find in Pooh Corner, in spite of her references to the slaughter of the Spartans. I said, "The bell rang last night."
"Yes, I know."
I didn't think she could have heard it from her room, through two closed doors. Previously, she had told me that if the bell rang in the night, we would soon thereafter move on to a new place. She said,
"I'll see you again when the wind blows the water white and black."
And she turned away, retreating into the cottage. Beyond the beach, the sea spread blue to the horizon. The day remained still and mild, and the sky was so clear that it seemed I should be able to discern the stars in spite of the sunshine that concealed them. Not mystified, but certainly bewildered, I walked north half a mile to the heart of the village with a wariness that I hadn't felt minutes earlier. Shaded by ancient California live oaks, the downtown shopping area was a three-lane street flanked by just 6 blocks of stores, restaurants, and quaint inns. If you wanted a real town, you had to go up the coast to Santa Barbara. I didn't know that a guy would soon offer to neuter me, or that he would be carrying a pistol fitted with a sound suppressor. I have a psychic gift that occasionally includes a prophetic dream, but when awake, I do not see moments of the future. When I first noticed the truck that pricked my curiosity, I did not realize that a formidable enemy was behind the steering wheel. I didn't even get a glimpse of the driver. My unrelenting curiosity has gotten me in big trouble. It has also saved my butt a lot of times. On balance, it's a plus.